What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters, and it's also true for men's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, lecturer, radio host. Actually, I have another show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m. called the Women's Healing Circle, and I am a passionate advocate to get truthful information out there to support you in attaining optimal health and well-being and letting you make the best possible decisions regarding your health. And this is a fabulous show because it allows us to have some wonderful in-depth exploration and deep conversations into subjects that really all of us must know, and because my focus is women, we kind of angle it that way, but it really is a show that allows for important information to be shared for everyone. Let's see, a couple of things I just want to announce to everybody. I have a great website. It's called What Women Must Know. If you just click on What Women Must Know, get over there, and you can opt in. And I encourage you to do so because once you opt in, you'll be sent a variety of special reports, and you will have access also to many, many, many of my articles, teleclasses, right there on the home page. There's a link that takes you to all of the archive shows on both of my radio programs. So this is kind of a one-stop shop to learn, get empowered with truthful information, and just really expand your awareness so you can make those really good choices. If you don't have truthful information, it's really hard to make the best decision possible for you and for those you love. So that's what I encourage you to do, to just get more and more educated. And that's why I so enjoy doing these programs, because this is a place where we kind of sift through fact from fiction and help people really get on the right track. So today we're going to be sifting through some more fact from fiction, and this is particularly in regards to our health and our weight and creating optimal weight. And, you know, we've heard so much about the problem of obesity until we're kind of blue in the face. In fact, I think we've gotten to the place where people basically just don't hear it anymore. And even if it is a problem, as it is for 65-75% of the population, we just feel so discouraged. We don't know what to do. Of course, I've been on this track, and I've done many programs trying to get you the best information that really creates results. And we're going to talk about another fascinating book that really caught my attention. It's called Turbocharged: Accelerate Your Fat-Burning Metabolism, Get Lean Fast, and Leave Diet and Exercise Rules in the Dust. And that really got my attention because that sounds like my kind of book. So today we're going to be talking to one of the authors of the book. We're going to be talking to Diane Grizzell. She's a PhD. She and her brother, Tom, wrote the book. Both are in their 50s, young little things, aren't they? And yet they can prove that they are biometabolically in their teens. Wow. So for a combined 30 years, they have worked with biotech, pharmaceutical, and medical device companies while researching, reading, and testing countless theories regarding rapid fat loss, maintaining lean body mass, unconscious cravings, health, and longevity. And in their book, Turbocharged, they connect the dots while sharing revolutionary, simple, and easy-to-implement concepts that result in easy, fast, and permanent fat loss. And I really like that because we need to stop using the term weight loss and focus on what's really important, fat loss. And we're going to be explaining and exploring why fat loss is really how we want to be framing this conversation, why you need to focus on fat loss and how to do it. So, Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Selman.
Well, you know, your book is really, I guess in some circles, rather controversial, isn't it?
It is controversial in many ways. But the biggest thing that I'm happy to see you focused on is that we're focused on fat loss, not weight loss.
You know, I think that's a really important distinction because a fat loss is one of those generic terms. A lot of things get thrown into that basket of weight loss. But there are important distinctions to make because you've got to get the right kind of weight loss, which really should be, as you say, fat loss. And we're going to talk about that. But let's just hold that for a moment because I'd like to find out more about you and what got you on this path. And obviously you're really passionate about this. You've devoted a lot of your time and energy and focus to the subject of, you know, making these distinctions and getting, you know, the truth out there as opposed to so much of the misinformation that we are fed on a daily basis. How did all this start for you?
Well, when I was in my late teens and my brother was in his early 20s, I love to remind people he is 6 years older than me, even though he looks extra fabulous.
He does look like a kid, yes.
Well, so do you, for that matter. Oh, thank you. We found we had very similar interests in that we were really trying to push our bodies to see what we could make them, whether it was more muscular for Tom. I was focused on trying to be, at the time, I thought skinnier, which I now prefer the word leaner, because skinny doesn't really work, and you can end up with all kinds of health problems if you mm-hmm. focus on skinny. So we really got focused on being strong, healthy, lean, and living a long life. And we found we were both interested in this, so we started to explore and experiment.
Now, when you say you are biometabolically in your teens, how do you arrive at that?
Well, there are some interesting scales and methods you can use to measure your body fat. Now, the best one, frankly, you'd have to be a cadaver for, where they would actually take your dead body and extract the fat. So that's not obviously anything anyone wants to use. But that said, there are some excellent scales. A traditional weight scale tells you nothing. It just lets you know how much weight your entire being is weighing, which would be your bones, your teeth, your hair, your muscles, your heart, your lungs, all your essential organs, so and tons of water. So you get that information. But there are body fat scales that you can buy anywhere from $30 for an inexpensive one upwards to about $200. But right in the midway range, around $99, you can get an amazing scale that will let you know what your weight is, your percentage of water, your percentage of body fat. Some of them will tell you your visceral body fat, which is the fat you can't see, which you should be worried about because you can be slim but be carrying fat on your internal organs, as well as your metabolic age. Hmm. On our website, we give a fat calculator that will just let someone get the information for their body fat percentage if they load in the information correctly. But a scale that you can get at home inexpensively will let you know also what your metabolic age is. And my brother and I both come in anywhere in our teenage years, typically.
One question I have about those scales. Do you find that they are consistently accurate?
No. They're all between, in any measurement of body fat or water percentage will vary on any number of factors. The measurement we have on our website came from the United States Navy, and that's probably one of the most accurate. And it will weigh you as many as 4 percentage points higher than a home scale might. There's usually a plus or minus of 4% in any of these. Mm-hmm. The goal is to start to get a consistent reading. Just like you get on a scale and you know what you've weighed, if you weigh yourself daily or once a week, a body fat number gives you a percentage number. If you weigh yourself at the same time every day, that becomes a baseline to work from. And I can tell you this, most people get on and they're shocked to find out they are 40, 50, sometimes as much as 60% body fat.
Yeah, I think it would be a rude awakening.
It is, especially when you convert that body fat percentage to the actual poundage you're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever thought of what, if you cooked a 18 or 20 pound or so turkey, and you know how heavy that is to lift, and you think that's the stress and strain we're putting on our hearts when we carry this, it's just can have a tremendous impact on our health.
Yes, you know, I mean, I have done several shows talking about these issues and how dangerous it is on so many levels because I think people need to be aware. We kind of get concerned about weight because we don't like the way we look. But when you, and that is how I started on this topic myself. But as I got into it and researched it further, I just had such a rude awakening how serious a health risk it really is for every chronic disease out there. And recently, by the way, I come across information on the relationship of the brain and how it's impacted by body fat. And if you are overweight, I guess that's a kind of term we'll define here. But anyway, in the generic term, overweight, they said you lose 4% of your brain tissue. And if you're obese, you lose 8% of your brain tissue. And your brain on an obese person looks 16 years older than what their present age is. So that's kind of scary, you know. That starts getting people's attention. And, of course, we're going to be talking about some of the things you found to actually create results so we can get our brains back and also, you know, get that lean look. Well, one of the things I think it's important to define and talk about the necessity to create lean muscle mass and the role of lean muscle mass in our health and longevity.
Absolutely. The first thing we tell everyone is accept your body type, and this is particularly important for women. There's a lot of comments that, oh, we're affected by looking at supermodels in the media. Well, I think you have to take a little bit of personal responsibility there and do an assessment and say, you know what, if I have legs like an Olympic skater, I should honor those legs. Or if I'm super tall and lanky, I can still improve my health and body with getting a little better musculature. So it's for everyone, the first step is accepting what your body type is and then focusing in on maintaining your lean muscle mass, because lean muscle mass will burn more calories and make you healthier.
Yes, I've recently heard that lean muscle mass is the number one indicator of longevity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What happens is lean muscle mass retains much more water. It's heavier. It burns more energy. So it makes your entire body more efficient. And the fascinating thing that we address is that it's so much easier than people think to maintain your lean muscle mass.
You know, I recently read that after the age of 40, we lose up, for every decade after the age of 40, we lose up to 10% of our lean muscle mass, which is worrying.
Well, it's very disturbing, and that is really very true, because what happens is so many of us take jobs where we're sitting at a desk, we're not being as active, we spend more time watching TV, we say we're going to get to the gym, but we don't make it there, and then we just feel guilty about it, and all of it's adding to muscle atrophy. So we're losing the muscles in our rear ends and our legs, which burn the most calories, burn the most energy, and are the most efficient aspect of our body in our musculature.
So you talk about in your book about the reasons that we accumulate fat. Do you want to just maybe cover that briefly? And we're going to talk about, of course, the solutions that you recommend in your book, Turbocharged, and in your program. But let's just talk about some of the reasons why we start accumulating fat.
Well, the first thing we believe about accumulating body fat is so much of the information that is out there is just simply wrong. It is more of the same old, and a look around just proves that it's not working. We do not believe there is an issue with willpower. There are plenty of people who have all the willpower they need to get in shape, but they're getting poor information and therefore not getting the results they need.
So I'd like us to go into some of those myths as well, because I think we really need to have some discernment of what's the truth about what's contributing to our growing girth, and also what are the ways that can really support our return to our ideal weight. And, we hear about diets all the time. We hear about diets as, it's still, I believe, an old paradigm, but we're still being told just reduce calories and just increase exercise and, exert that willpower you're talking about, and that's all we need to do to change our body weight.
And let's look at exactly what you said, Dr. Selman. One of the things we talk about in Turbocharged is we are all told, reduce your calories. Women are told, bring your calories down to 1,200 or 1,400 calories a day. Men are told, get to 1,600 to 1,800 calories a day. Then we're told, sugar, bars of any kind of cereal bar is fine, or grains are fine. Eat pretty much whatever you want, but watch those calories. So that's one part of the problem, which I'll come back to, which is the sugar load and how your body reacts to that. But the second part of the typical weight loss advice equation is go out, make sure you're exercising 30 to 90 minutes three times a week, do it intensely, and at the same time, make sure you add a 20-minute, three-time-a-week weight-lifting workout. The combination of this will cause an incredible calorie deficit. And that deficit sends your brain screaming, saying, we've got a problem here. We need to kick into survival mode. And when it needs to go into survival mode, it immediately begins to draw energy from muscle, which is the easiest for it to convert in the absence of energy. So instead of getting stronger and healthier when we diet following convention diet advice, we are actually shrinking yet getting fatter.
Oh my goodness, we never hear that side of the story at all.
No, we don't. And that's why we had to write Turbocharged,
right?
Because it's simply not out there. And so much of the diet advice is a regurgitation. We're told weight loss equals fat loss. Well, this is definitely not true, and it is a very scary thought. If what we're doing is losing our bone density, which is so common to us as we pass age 35, we're told that 30 to 90 minutes of maximum fat burning is best. Well, we think that sounds exhausting and is a perfect thing to trigger a binge. We're told to eat balanced meals. Well, those are great, but only if you like indigestion. We're told grains are an absolutely necessary part of our diet. But the fact remains that there is nothing, no nutrient is in a grain that cannot be found in fruits, vegetables, meat, cheese, or eggs. We're told it's best to sip water throughout the day. Well, sipping water will not keep us hydrated. And the list could go on and on of the misinformation.
Okay,
and
well,
it's confusing.
It's so intriguing. I'm a bit of a heretic, so I love all this information. So we can get truthful stuff out. So you know, I'm with you. I know it's not what it appears to be, and it's not how we have been, you know, marketed to or deceived, whatever you want to call it. So let's just get to the truth. What did you find, and what do we need to know to create this, as you call it, turbocharged state? What's the program that you've developed so we can get to lean muscle mass? I just want to say that not only, of course, do I see many people who are struggling with their weight, but I also have some patients who are on the other end of the scale, and for whatever reason, they are really struggling to maintain. Now, they say they want to put weight on. They've been told they need to put weight on. They've got, you know, digestive issues and things that make it hard for them to absorb and assimilate their nutrients, and so they're losing their weight. They're really losing their muscle mass, and it's really hard to get these people to understand it's not eating a big chocolate cake that you want to do to get more weight on. You want to do the kind of nutrition that's going to put on lean muscle mass when you are thin or when you have high fat percentage in your body compared to your lean muscle. So,
Dr. Spellman, you're giving excellent advice. I could not agree with you more.
Yeah, you know, it's just like I kind of just shake my head. So that's where that distinction, when you talk about gaining weight, it's really gaining lean muscle mass. That's what we're all after. That's what keeps us healthy. When people are chronically ill or doing chemotherapy, they are losing lean muscle mass. That's why it's so critical to give the proper nutrition to either maintain or restore what the body is using for energy nutrition.
Okay. Absolutely. And it becomes giving yourself the proper nutrition you need, and at the same time, reminding your brain that you need your muscles. And this can be done in 3 to 5 1-minute exercises a day, or activities, muscle-bearing activities that are very simple. And when people do this, which we talk about extensively in our 8-step program in steps 5 and 6, you are triggering your body to say, I cannot use muscle and convert it for my energy. These muscles are needed. I must source body fat.
Right. So you want, I mean, that's when you start initiating the fat burning mechanism in the body, which really has been compromised.
Correct. And what happens is, in turbocharge, we've basically broken it down to 8 very easy and simple to follow steps. And the people we focus on in all of our experimental work were all people who had either tried multiple diets and were in their late 30s, 40s, straight through their 80s, and had given up. They were saying, it's hormones, it's my metabolism, I just don't process insulin properly. Well, you know what? That's a lot of bunk. It can all be improved and rapidly change. Other people we worked with were top athletes. We have someone who did the Hawaii Ironman 3 times, has cycled over 600,000 miles. I'm sure we all wish we had cars that could do that kind of performance. Yeah. So here's someone who never spent his time trying to diet for best performance, because he was trying to just eat enough to keep up. Yet when he started to turbocharge and follow the 8 steps, his performance has improved exponentially. And he can't believe it.
Hmm. You.
So it's simple little things that anyone can implement.
Okay, let's start with one of those simple little things, and that is the role of water. You have a very different take on how to use water, not only to maintain hydration, but to change your brain's response to your, you know, needs in your body, your appetite needs, or whatever. So let's talk about that, because that's a really, like you were saying, sipping water all day long is not effective if you want to use of a weight loss program or fat or lean, building lean muscle program.
Exactly. Well, that's why we started with step one. You have to forget everything you know, which includes focusing on that weight loss. Mm-hmm. But in step two, we talk about using, you know, measuring body fat, which is the only thing you want to lose. Step three is a new understanding of water. And it's several concepts that are very important to understand. The first part is that there's a difference between hunger and appetite. When we're hungry, it's a screaming message. It's like a baby saying, feed me now. Any parent can tell you there's a big difference between that screaming message versus pick me up, or I'm bored, or I'm a little frustrated, or I'm just plain being a baby. Appetite is a memory that, oh, you know what, I'd really like a burger tonight. Now, the only people who might actually have appetite that falls into hunger are pregnant women. And having been one and known many, I would never argue with a pregnant woman's cravings. They may be calls for nutrients, but for the most of us, it's a recollection of something we desire. So this leads us to the next important thing, which is there's a big difference between hunger and thirst, yet the two are very often confused. Thirst is what most of us are when we think we're hungry. When we wake up in the morning, we have basically fasted all night, and our bodies, while we were sleeping, have been doing all kinds of activity to keep us functioning, alive, cleaning our bodies, getting us set, re-energizing us, all things that go on all night long. When we wake up in the morning, we are thirsty, not hungry, yet so many of us eat. And the big differentiation here gets back to evolutionary times where food was much more plentiful with water than the refined foods we eat today. So we craved those foods, and they satisfied us.
So you have a specific protocol as far as when to drink and how much to drink. Can you just elaborate on that?
Sure. Turbochargers drink first thing in the morning when they wake up. The minute we wake up, we fill our tanks, as we say. You want to get up and have somewhere between 16 and 32 ounces of water within your first hour and a half to 2 hours of being awake. So I find, personally, I get up, I immediately have a drink, a good size 8 ounce or so of water. We get our kids ready for school. In that process, I drink another glass. By the time they're off to school or I'm off to work, I make sure I have another glass. Of course, you need to have bathrooms close by because you will have to go more often than usual.
Right.
But what this does is once you are hydrated, you are starting to set satiety hormones off.
Huh.
The next thing turbochargers do is we simulate the exact same effects of bariatric surgery. When someone submits to stomach banding, there have been plenty of studies that show it's not that you've consumed, you know, the leptin or glucose reactions in the body are changing. It's the fact that a smaller stomach reduces food consumption, and therefore you're getting fuller quicker because you have a smaller space to fill, and that then triggers the release of satiety hormones telling your brain, okay, I'm full now. Water can be used the same way. The minute thirst sets in after a meal, if people just stopped and said, wow, I'm thirsty, that's the signal from my body to stop eating, and they drank as many glasses of water as they could to feel very full, they would start to increase fat burning at a more rapid speed.
So you're talking about drinking after a meal, but do most people feel thirsty after a meal?
There will be a point in every meal where thirst starts to set in.
Really?
And let's say You just, and if someone does, if their body is a little off and they're not noticing that initially, what you want to do is when you finish what's on your plate, drink up before you reach for seconds. Have a big glass or two of water.
And most people will be full. What do you say to those people, you shouldn't drink water while you have a meal because it'll dilute your digestive enzymes and digestive juices?
Well, I find it doesn't work. I disagree because anyone who's gone through the turbocharging program will tell you that their efficiency in their digestive system goes up exponentially. You're adding more water. Your whole digestive system relies tremendously on water, more than fiber, although fiber is plentiful in the fruits and vegetables we eat to move things along fluidly and fast.
Well, you know, that kind of makes sense to me. Anyway, I think most people tend to be on the dehydrated side anyway.
Couldn't agree with you more. And when we often have people say, when they first start the program, they'll say, you know, I know I wasn't supposed to, but I did a spin class and I did this aerobics class, and I looked at myself in the mirror and I looked so much leaner. And we say, yeah, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
Drink up.
Yeah.
All you've done is within 10 minutes of that aerobic workout, if you were cutting calories, you have burned muscle mass. You've defeated your end game by shrinking instead of getting stronger, and you're dehydrated, so you better drink up.
Well, you know, I'm sure people listening to this, and they're, you know, it's like a thought they have to think about for a while, because what you're saying is that the more water we drink, and specifically how we drink it, like, you know, at least 8 ounces or 16 ounces at a time, that's a big, you know, I mean, 8 ounces is not a hard thing to do, you know, do a couple of those 8 ounce glasses, but you're saying it's important to do it first thing in the morning, within the first hour and a half, 2 hours of getting up.
Absolutely.
So most people
who do that find they will not be hungry for close to 2 to 3 hours after that. So one thing you're doing right there is delaying that morning meal, which you really don't need because your body is still digesting what you ate the night before and trying to make sure that efficiently moves out 100%.
Oh, that's interesting. That's another myth that you're busting there, is that you don't need to have that breakfast first thing in the morning if you are getting proper hydration as you define it by doing the 16 to 32 ounces first thing in the morning.
That is true. And another fact that supports the hydration and how we have evolved is there are well-known experiments where people, or fasts that have been highly publicized, where people can survive 40 to David Blaine, the British magician, who survived 57 days without any damage on a total food fast, but having water. However, to live without damage past 3 days is extremely rare, with 8 days being the longest ever recorded.
So, again,
what we do is we confuse, because we have so many dehydrating foods in our diet that require water to even digest them if you're eating grains or any grain product, that you're burning more water than you're taking in, and it's exacerbating a dehydration situation, which makes you more hungry.
Wow. Okay, well, we have a lot more we're going to talk about. We need to take a quick break, so I don't want anybody to go away, because my guest today, Dr. Diane Grizel, is really busting lots of myths here regarding our fat loss, how to build lean muscle mass, how to do all this correctly, and it's something we really need to pay attention to. So we'll be right back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we are listening to What Women Must Know.
Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for all things progressive.
I'm Allison Rose Levy. I've been a health journalist for 25 years. I'm currently blogging on the Huffington Post. After more than two decades of studying, talking about, exchanging, and reporting on integrative well-being and collective psychology, I think we're ready to step up to the next level. On Connect the Dots, we're going to reach beyond the merely individual look at health to look at the community, societal, and global level of what we need to address to better our health. Please join me Saturdays at noon Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network, and I look forward to dialoguing with you.
Hi, this is Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be coming to you live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I will bring my background as a physician and as an attorney to help you with a minimal pharmaceutical and a minimal surgical approach to your medical issues. Please come join me.
So to join in on the conversation, call 888-874-4888. Ask Dr. Eisenstein, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Progressive Radio Network.
Your favorite show on Progressive Radio Network? Go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com anytime, day or night, for all of our great shows. Don't be left out and miss important shows and information. Visit ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and be in the loop.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, Jeff.
Your girlfriend gave another interview.
No, don't play it.
Listen to this.
I have a journalism degree. That is what I studied. I understand that this cornerstone of our democracy is a free press.
Shut it off! I said not to play it!
We are in the worst reality show in history.
Why won't she shut up?
You know she's going to be president, right?
Okay, stop it. That's not funny. That's not funny!
I think we should just go limp. Lay back. Maybe then the Mama Grizzly won't tear off your limbs. Cheater in the Rood, Thursdays, 8 p.m., Progressive Radio Network.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Back once again. Thank you for listening to What Women Must Know. We are having such an interesting show. I love this kind of conversation. We are talking to Dr. Diane Grizzell. She's the co-author of Turbocharged, Accelerate Your Fat Burning Metabolism, Get Lean Fast and Leave Diet and Exercise Rules in the Dust. That's where they belong. So we've been talking about how important it is to have quite a bit of water, you know, 16 or 32 ounces within the first 2 hours. And that will help reduce our appetite, properly hydrate our body, and affect our brain, isn't it, Diane?
Absolutely. In fact, there are studies now that say the more properly hydrated you are, the less your odds of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other debilitating diseases as well as diabetes.
Right. Gosh. Okay, so get the water in. Get the water in first thing during the morning. Get it. Drink your water after meals. Should you drink your water after meals if you feel full as well as if you don't feel full?
It always pays to top off with at least a glass of water.
Okay, so always have a glass of water with your meals. Any other time people should be hydrating?
Well, we recommend that once you start hydrating, and if you start with hydration in the morning, we recommend that before you decide you're going to eat a meal, you determine whether you are truly hungry or are you just thirsty. So before someone eats, we recommend you try to have anywhere from 16 to 32 ounces of water. And if after you've done that, as well as a few of the other steps we recommend, if you still feel hungry, then at that point you should absolutely eat up and enjoy your meal with gusto. But first you need to determine whether you are actually hungry or not.
You say something very interesting in your book when you talk about the role of water, and it is in relationship to raising testosterone levels and improving muscle maintenance and fat burning. So properly hydrating is increasing testosterone levels in men and women?
It does, and it also increases your human growth hormone. It will improve estrogen levels. It will improve all of our base hormones, as well as leptin, which is your master hormone for everything going on in the body.
Right, right. So, of course, leptin is the hormone that makes you feel full. So if you're, if you're drinking as much water as you're recommending, that certainly will fill you up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, in addition to being hydrated, a big portion of turbocharging is making sure, again, that your body is relying on fat, excess body fat for energy, and not your muscle. So on that front, we're big believers in stressing your muscle just a little bit every couple of hours.
Well, what does that look like?
Well, it could be any number of things. And we make everything count. For example, today we, in the United States, we have more gyms and health clubs than any other country in the world. In fact, we're one of the few countries that actually have gyms and health clubs. This is not a common phenomena around the world. Yet, in the obesity charts, we're ranking very high. So we've got plenty of clubs getting memberships, but then people don't go. And worse, they feel guilty that they don't go. So when they do go, they're often getting on a treadmill saying, okay, I managed to walk for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and I burned 140 calories, 150 calories. Well, one of the things that we believe in turbocharged is any activity counts. So maybe what you really want to be doing is cleaning your apartment, folding your laundry. When you're vacuuming, get under that couch, bend. Very 50s-style exercise advice. Stay active. It all counts. So that's number one. Another one is every couple of hours, whether it's you go take a walk, which, again, anytime you are up on your feet, you're working your biggest muscle group, which is your legs and your buttocks. So that combo, being the best fat burners in your body, the more you're standing, the more you're turbocharging and burning fat. And finally, a last thing is mini muscle-building workouts, which could be simple lifting of a weight, but you don't even need to own weights. You could take a laundry container and try to lift it up a few times with each arm. You could take two cans of canned vegetables out of your closet, if that's what you have, or a can of soup within each hand, and curl it up. You could do it the good old-fashioned marine way. You know, get down and try to do a push-up. It doesn't make any difference if you can do 60. The point is you do as many as you can and hold it, because you're reminding your body, don't take my muscle. Only burn my body fat.
What about doing specific nutrition to increase lean muscle mass, like either proteins or L-glutamine or the branched chain amino acids? What's your feeling about that?
When it comes to eating, we follow two approaches. My brother and most of the people he got to turbocharge did it the carnivore route. People I worked with did it the vegetarian route. So we don't care what anyone's food preference is or what they like to eat or their style. Anyone can improve and get lean rapidly. The trick is we practice what might be known as, what we dub as enlightened fasting. This is not fasting. We don't believe in fasting. We don't believe in starving the body. In fact, turbocharging has more nutrients per calorie than any diet regimen that's ever been suggested. We're the only program that advocates very high consumption of fruit, which is very rare. Most diets will tell you, oh, fruit's high in glycemic index, avoid those bananas, you're going to gain weight, you're spiking your insulin. Well, this is just simply not true or accurate. So what we do is we alternate our meals in whatever way we desire, either one meal at a time or days at a time, of having higher fruits and or vegetable meals alternated with mostly protein meals. And this is based on our evolution, which I can explain if you'd like.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. You've got us all intrigued.
Okay. So here, if we, whether you believe in evolution or not, there was at some point a species running around in the earth, which we may be related to in some form or fashion, that was fighting for their survival. And these folks spent all their time looking for shelter, trying to find food, trying to keep themselves clothed in harsh conditions. If they weren't looking for food, they were running from being caught for food. When they were walking around most of the time, they were in what we call an enlightened fasting stage. They were living on very low calories but very high nutrient foods, which might be fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and probably plenty of small little insects that were on what they were eating. And they did this for days and days at a time until they were lucky enough to either coordinate as a group or just sheer luck as an individual to catch some kind of animal or fish. And when they caught that animal or fish, it's very likely that that was all they ate. There was no refrigeration, and protein will rot if left unrefrigerated. So they'd sit and spend all, you know, a day or two or several meals in a row just eating those protein sources. And they would eat that up, including probably muscle, you know, lean tissue, bones, you know, suck the marrow from the bones, probably ate brains and liver, intestines, you know, the soft tissues. And that's what they ate for days at a time. So turbocharging is based on this kind of theory that the body does very well going back and forth between high nutrient but low calorie foods, alternating with higher protein and fat foods, but ideally probably not at the same meal. So in turbocharging, we try to separate these nutrients or keep them at no more than a 90-10% eyeball ratio.
Oh, that's so interesting, because, you know, there are days when I just don't feel like eating a lot of vegetables, and I'll focus more on protein, and then there are days that I, you know, more inclined to vegetables, to have more fruits, but there's always a little voice in my head going, no, you got to have your protein with your vegetables and, you know, balance your meals out. And
Dr. Selman, you're turbocharged. You
well,
are naturally
like I have permission
turbocharged.
To be turbocharged now. You know,
you just didn't know it.
And you know, that's true. I didn't know it. It was like, you know, it's like, oh, I should throw those vegetables in, but I can't be bothered often, or just not interested. So that's so interesting, Diane. I haven't really heard anyone else come across with that kind of information research.
Well, you know, when Dr. Fred Pescatore, who wrote The Hamptons Diet and Feed Your mm-hmm. Children Well and The Asthma Allergy and Allergy Cure, he wrote our foreword. And when we gave him the book, he ended up, his first reaction, which he wrote in the foreword, was, I can't believe it. I kind of gravitate towards this naturally, just like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So the more attuned people become to their body and ignore what they have heard, because, again, it's your body's giving you the information. It's your brain getting tricked by all that media. Oh, wait a second. Don't I need a protein test this day? You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You would do just fine. You're on a very high nutrition day.
Mm-hmm.
And your body, protein works like a bank. When you need some, it'll be stored for future reference. As long as what we tell people is sometime around every third day, make sure one meal gets about 25 grams of protein. If it's not your inclination, mm-hmm. squeeze it in anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what do you say to people who are the elderly or people convalescing who are losing their lean muscle mass and have a really hard time building it up?
Well, we've had people, in fact, in the middle of working on the book, Tom had to have a serious knee operation where he had hurt his knee. And he managed to maintain over 98% of his lean muscle mass. Had a very small drop while he was totally stopped in a chair for upwards to 8 weeks, sitting in a chair. And this is done by the mini workouts. If you sat in a chair and if you couldn't get up, if you took some kind of weight, and again, it could be vegetable cans, a container of laundry bleach, or actual weights if you own them, and you can pick them up at garage sales quick because so many people buy them and never use them and want to get rid of them. You can just take that weight, lift it a few times, and again, it's reminding your body, I need my lean muscle. So it will not source it in the absence of, particular nutrition at any given point.
So whatever your, kind of status is, if you have too much fat and want to reduce the fat, increase your lean muscle, or you're losing your lean muscle, then the use of some sort of weights, even if it's just for a short periods of time, for I think you say 3 to 5 minutes, right?
No, actually it's 1 minute.
1 minute.
3 to 5 times a day.
Wow.
So if you did it first thing in the morning when you woke up, then then you did it maybe at noon, and you did it at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and right before bed, you will be shocked at how your muscles will start to respond.
Wow, that's so interesting. So your hydration is helping your body function more optimally. You're doing something with weights to give that message to the body. You're talking about your enlightened fasting, so, days of either vegetables, fruits, or make sure you have some, protein in there at some day, a couple of days or whatever. Or
about
do you recommend
day?
Not having protein every day, or is that okay?
It's a matter of choice. Days where I just eat fruits and vegetables, and I feel great.
Right.
And then naturally my body, this morning I woke up and I wanted eggs.
Right.
I had eggs
right.
for lunch.
Right.
And, will just happen. And, my brother's body, interestingly, he finds he really thrives more on wanting protein. But he'll go a couple of days and then crave fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So his diet's more predominantly protein-based, whereas mine's more fruit-based, yet we've gotten identical results.
Mm-hmm.
But we separate those nutrients.
Do you want to say something about the cereals, the grains, the carbohydrates that we're all consuming much too much of?
Carbohydrates, that's a loaded topic. The bottom line is there's nothing in a carbohydrate in a grain-based carbohydrate that you cannot get from a fruit, vegetables, nuts, seed, or egg. The manufacturers of the world would love and keep mixing up the term carbohydrates. It's very convenient for manufacturers to have things called carbohydrates as a generic catch-all term, but it is not good for us as individuals. Fruits and vegetables should not be classified under this catch-all phrase as carbohydrates, even if they are, because they're such water-loaded fruits. Water-filled foods and loaded with nutrients, that to group them with a nutrition bar that has everything chemically loaded back in is just a total injustice
right.
to our bodies. These foods are not what are going to support and build our health. They're dehydrating, and they trigger insulin loads dropping in the body. Your sugar level goes up each time you eat them, and your body seeks to combat by releasing insulin, and this constant flood eventually shuts off our turbochargers.
Hmm.
Whereas once you get turbocharged and you've gotten your body to function going back and forth between the enlightened fasting phase of high nutrients, plenty of water-filled fruits and vegetables, unlimited, as much as you want, balancing it out with your protein meals when you have them, your body starts to seamlessly switch like a hybrid vehicle, going back and forth between sugar, burning it efficiently from the fruits, and protein. So it becomes a true hybrid in its operation and very efficient.
Well, that's, you know, it's so fascinating, and I really love what you're saying, and you know, the research you've done to kind of give us, you know, some different understandings that really help create results. So tell us about your website, and are you doing programs online, or do people just need to read the book? Everything is in the book, and where can people get the book? So why don't you just kind of share some of that information with us?
Well, thank you. The book is available on Amazon, and all you have to do is punch in Amazon and Turbocharged, and it will pull up. And if you happen to get any car stuff on any particular day, you can just put Turbocharged in Health, and the book will appear as number one in that category. Also, our website is turbocharged.us.com. Every day we post a blog that's new on some aspect of something in the media, something we believe is false, something we need needs countering or needs a voice of reason. Something new goes up every day. There is a free body fat calculator, because with turbocharging, there's nothing else you need to buy. Mm-hmm. You simply need to follow the 8 steps that are in the book. So we do recommend people buy the book. We also ask you to sign it, because it's something you really need to read from start to finish before you implement it. It's an easy read, but each step is crucial and relies and falls on the other. So it's a very holistic program. And if you pull one part out without the others, you're just not going to create the end result that you want in the speed that it could happen.
Okay, well, we've come to the end. Anything else you just want to wrap things up with, Diane, that you think we need to emphasize or you didn't get to touch on?
No, what I'd like to wrap up with is that losing body fat is easy, and the most important part of it is it makes you healthier in the long run. And health is what we all want to aim for. And if you can get leaner, more buff, more awe-inspiring in the process, well, that's just a cool side effect. You'll just feel great. So we'd like you all to check out a copy of Turbocharged.
Yeah, that's great. You know, your information has been so enlightening, and I really appreciate all of the research you've done and how well you communicated all this to us. So I think you've given people a lot to think about. I certainly think it's a great idea to pick up the book Turbocharged, Accelerate Your Fat-Burning Metabolism, Get Lean, Fast, and Leave Diet and Exercise Rules in the Dust. Great subtitle. Diane, thanks so much for being with us, and I just wish you all the greatest of success, and I'm going to be increasing my water in the morning and following some of your other suggestions as well.
Well, thank you, Dr. Selman. This was really delightful, and you have the ultimate radio voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Have a great day. And thanks for being with us today.
Very much.
Well, here we are, another fascinating show. We've been talking to Diane Grizel. She is one of the co-authors with her brother Tom, and they have written a fascinating book called Turbocharged. I certainly encourage you to have a read of it, go up to their website, and learn more, because the leaner we get, the meaner we get, and the healthier we get. So this is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know, and I always want to leave you with this thought. Always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.